This episode of the UAV Digest is sponsored by Go Engineer, provider of design, engineering, and 3D printing solutions for the aerospace and unmanned vehicles industries. To learn more, visit theuavdigest.com/goengineer. And by UAV Propulsion Tech, a provider of propulsion, servo, autopilots, and rescue and recovery parachute solutions for the unmanned aerial vehicle market. For more information, check out www.uavpropulsiontech.com. You're listening to episode 87 of the UAV Digest. I'm Max Flight in Hartford, Connecticut.
And I'm David Vanderhoof in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. Hey, Max, how are we?
I'm doing very well, David. Nice to talk to you. We have an all-news episode this week, don't we?
Yeah, it's going to be kind of funny that we don't have a third voice or four voices on the show, but we have to get back to we've missed out on some news over the last couple of weeks, but we've had 2 weeks of really fantastic guests, so we appreciate that. But we got a little bit of news, so I guess we better get started. The FAA streamlines a COA, the first unmanned aircraft business park. We've got a sports segment, and this week we look at golf. Regulations galore, and a video of the week, and our new MPRM update. So with that, I guess we should get started. Well, our first story this week comes from the FAA. How surprising. The FAA streamlines UAS COAs for Section 333. And this is from faa.gov/news. Under the new policy, the FAA will grant a certificate of waiver or authorization, COA, for flights below 200 feet for any UAS operator with a Section 33 exemption for an aircraft that weighs less than 55 pounds. Operates during daytime visual flight rules and operates within visual line of sight of the pilots and stay certain distances away from airports or heliports. So they're trying to clean up their backlog of COA requests.
This is kind of interesting. We had some comments from some of our listeners and a past guest, actually. We heard from Doug Branch. He's from like On a Tree Aerial, and he wrote us, and he was talking about sort of the perception amongst the public of the FAA. He says the general public does not fully understand the FAA. He says the FAA works slowly, sometimes with good reason, sometimes not so much in the eyes of some. He said it's important to remember they make big decisions that can affect thousands of lives. Sometimes it's hard to move fast when thinking about the big picture. And then he notes this announcement, which just sort of blows that statement out of the water. This, I guess, was kind of unexpected, but it's sort of another door that the FAA is opening up. And I think it's a very interesting and significant move.
And I think basically they're trying to manage the backlog of issues, but it's a very specific COA. It's daylight operations, no beyond line of sight, you know, and basically simple video or, you know, shooting real estate outside of somebody's home or something like that, where what would fit to this. So I'm also interested to wonder what our previous guests and people who got the COA, are they a little disgruntled about the fact that they had to go through all the rigmarole and now there's a new streamline process? But I guess that goes for everything in life. You know, eventually something, you do something and you somebody else will come along and, you know, it'll be quicker for them. But we did hear from Mark Burns, another former guest of Burns Eye View.
Yeah, he wrote and said that this blanket COA is great news if the FISDOs know how to implement it. FISDOs, of course, that's FSDO. That's the FAA Flight Standards District Office. That's kind of the face of the FAA on a local level. And Mark actually called several of the FISDOs, and he says there seems to be general confusion on how to implement this latest move from the Home Office, FAA, in D.C. And he says, I'm hoping that when operating under the blanket COA, that NOTAMs will not be required. He said this will speed up the process from planning to filming and add some much-needed common sense. So a good review, at least at this point, from Mark. And we'll see what the others have to say and just how well this works in practice.
It was well received in the industry, I believe, looking at Twitter and such. A bit surprising, but nonetheless, the FAA is listening to the masses and they're trying to get things moving along. So good for the FAA. Another good news week for the FAA.
Yeah, streamlining is always good. I like streamlining.
I do too, but normally involving locomotives. So the next story is drones buzz to replace roar of Air Force giants in North Dakota. This was from the FayObserver.com, and it's about a new business park called Grand Sky North Dakota, and it's the first unmanned aircraft business park, and it's based at a former Strategic Air Command base, Grand Fork Air Force Base.
And this is a big... a big location, right? 1.2 million square feet. I don't know if they're going to use all of that space for this purpose, but you certainly got a lot of room to fly some drones safely, it seems.
Basically, it's using the Alert 5 apron, which is, for those people who don't know, back in the Cold War, we would have B-52s or B-1s armed and ready to go in case of a nuclear war, and they would be on this hot pad. And if you go out and look at Grand Forks, you have a very large piece of concrete apron, and that's got a single taxi ray out to their main runway. And basically, it gives people, for the B-52s, it would have given them a head start. They gun the engine, they taxi out, and next thing you know, straight up. So it's utilizing Grand Forks Air Force Base, which has been demobilized. It's lost its B-1 mission, it lost its KC-135 mission, and it's been BRACT, which is the Base Realignment and Closure Commission. But it was kept open, and interestingly enough, its primary mission right now is to fly Global Hawks.
Now, how does this all relate, David, to the fact that North Dakota is one of the six test sites? Is this related to that?
It is. They are using that as a leverage point to that the University of North Dakota is only about 20 minutes drive away, and they will be able to use this as part of the test site. And they are actively working with the FAA to broaden the test site parameters for North Dakota to be an area, and that's what they're banking on for testing. It's kind of like the Las Vegas and the Nevada site, but. This they want to build actually like factories, and on the 1.2 million square feet is the size of the property. It's not necessarily the size of the apron, but they do already have a letter of intent from Northrop Grumman that want, you know, and they, especially if they're working with things like the Global Hawk, where they'll have a facility next to an active Global Hawk base. So Grand Sky, the group is, I think, on the right track, and it's good use of a former military base.
Yeah, it's nice to see those put to some productive use. And this Grand Sky has a website, right? GrandSkyND.com. David, it feels like things are starting to click, doesn't it, a little bit?
Yeah, the pieces are starting to, we'll keep with the cliches, the pieces are starting to fall into place, and maybe... And I say this, and next week we'll be talking about something else, but it sounds like the train has started to pick up steam. And it's left the station, and now things are starting to happen. And if you had told us 86 episodes that this would be this way, I don't know what we would have thought to go back in time to the David and Max first episodes, but things are changing, and changing for the better, in my opinion.
Yeah, I think I agree, David, for sure. Hey, you know, it's kind of interesting. We've talked about the use of UAS in applications like movie production, in things like agriculture, just a wide variety of areas where it makes a lot of sense. But we touch a little bit on some sporting events. But I think with this week's news, we're adding a new sport to the collection of drone applications.
Yeah, well, it's gentlemen only, ladies forbidden, otherwise known as golf. And it's an interesting pair of stories because one is pro-drone, one is anti-drone. Our first story comes from onlineathens.com. County bans drones during Masters Tournament in Augusta. Now, if for most people know that the single biggest golf tournament next to the British Open in the world is the Masters in Augusta. And evidently, Augusta, Georgia commissioners approved the countywide ban on launching and operating drones between April 2nd and April 13th, which happens to be the tournament.
Now, originally, this ban was pretty, well, draconian, I think. It affected all drones being flown at any time in, quote, areas containing dwellings or, quote, any congested area at sporting events or heavily populated parks, except for model aircraft fields. I mean, they were shutting these down completely everywhere, it seems.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's the one way to get the, if you make a blanket like that, then there won't be any flying. But it's a tough call. I mean, golf is a very sensitive, sound-sensitive issue, and we've seen drones being used to photograph skiing in the Olympics and such. It's tough. And Augusta, there's enormous crowds, and there's a lot of money there, and all you would need is have a drone go into one of the crowd lines. That would be a real mess. So I don't disagree with the sentiment, but I do like the alternate that story that we got this week. If you've watched enough golf, and my father was an avid golfer, he spent every Sunday watching golf on television. One of the things is on a good golf tournament, you actually have a helicopter shot where they fly down the fairways and you get to see it, you know, what the whole line was up to the green. Well, and this was awfulannouncing.com said, Golf Channel experiments with a drone at the Arnold Palmer Invitational. And that's what they did. They used the drone to scope out the course.
And this was FAA approved, according to this article. The Golf Channel did some filming, I guess, in advance of the actual tournament. So they weren't flying these during the actual tournament, right? But they were capturing footage that they could use during the coverage of the event. And, you know, like you say, there's, you know, here's one pro and one, you know, anti. And, I mean, the difference is this is coordinated. This is not about the hobbyists getting out there with their drones and trying to, you know, observe a golf tournament. It's about the operators, and in this case, the Golf Channel, being part of the overall production and not something that's, you know, like the hobbyist out there playing. And that's the way it should be at sporting events, right? I mean, whether it's golf or football or soccer or whatever, there's danger in hobbyists flying on their own in order to film or view the events. But it's a different thing to have professional operation flying in conjunction with the event organizers or producers.
So it's an interesting pair that both week. But I don't think right now I'm not comfortable enough flying UAVs over sporting events. Just a little too much risk, and maybe we'll get better. But you know, it's a tough call. So we'll keep following up on our sporting segments, and it's just another sport to add to the collection. So our next story was from our listener Bobby Mills: how not to regulate drones, or what we should not do with drone regulations. And this was from thestartelegram.com, an opinion piece. And the author argues that restrictions beyond the FAA has proposed would not significantly reduce the threat of rogue drones or their operators. What they would do is shackle the emerging commercial drone industry. Well, this is in a week where the FAA has sort of unshackled part of the industry, but it's an interesting argument. Do you regulate the industry as a whole, or do you try to go after the outliers? You know, the people who are going to do, you know, are as we say, you're grounded, the stupid flight files. And I don't know the answer to that. You'd hope that the regulations for everyone would mitigate the outliers, but that's probably not the case.
It's an interesting article. I don't know. He took some interesting twists and turns. He notes that, you know, if you have some kind of ill intent with a drone, that restricting it to line of sight isn't going to deter you. And I mean, that's the same as you know, anything else. I hate to bring guns into this, but because it's kind of a bad analogy. But you know, I mean, there's safe operation, and you can make them legal, you can make them illegal, but that doesn't stop criminals from using them. You know, okay. So I mean, I kind of get it, but he goes on to propose some, I don't know, kind of strange things for what he thinks we should see. He talks about the use of geofencing. Well, okay. Detection and tracking systems for high security areas like the White House, setting up some kinds of sensors and things that would tell you when you have an incoming drone with mal intent. And then it goes kind of even farther, and he talks about interceptor drones that could be launched when, you know, the bad drones come, and the good drones would have nets, and you could shoot them out, I guess, and capture the bad drones and, you know, bring them in. I don't know. I guess this is, I don't know. It's interesting to sort of think about these things, but there's some practical difficulties with some of this stuff.
It's a tough call. I mean, yeah, unfortunately, like we've experienced this week in our general news, where we have an airliner that was maliciously crashed into the Alps
right
this week because the co-pilot wanted to commit suicide, evidently. I'm sorry, but you really can't regulate for that. It's just going to be, eventually something bad is going to happen, but we hope that, you know, unfortunately, let's hope that it doesn't happen and things work out for the best. But, you know, we need to keep on the positive level and keep growing the industry. And unfortunately, with that and the freedom to do that comes with the opportunity for someone to do malicious intent. So I think we'll move on from that, and we'll talk to we'll talk about my new favorite hero in the Senate.
We found one.
It's Senator Cory Booker from my father's hometown in Newark, New Jersey, to introduce commercial drone legislation following FAA's Amazon ruling. This is from Forbes.com.
Now, Senator Booker has proposed what he's calling the Commercial UAV Modernization Act. And the idea here is that it would sort of liberalize some commercial operation of drones, not as a permanent ongoing measure, but just as a measure to sort of bridge to the time when the FAA has issued final regulations. So in a way, these are kind of temporary rules, or these would be temporary rules. And they would allow small UAS to perform, well, certain kinds of missions, like construction site surveys or crop mapping and things like that.
Yeah, and the Modernization Act will, quote, require companies to carry liability insurance, which I recommend, but will be much more lenient to drone operators. And I'm not sure what that means, that they're more lenient to drone operators, other than they'll have the ability to operate the UAVs, you know. Mm. And also, part of it was UAV operators will not be required to have a private pilot's license, but will only required to pass an aeronautical knowledge test. Well, that's straight from the NPRM. Mm. But, of course, with all good bills and legislations, we have to create a new position to go with it. Unfortunately, we have to grow the bureaucracy. And this is where one of those things I sort of, do we really need this? Which is, the bill calls for an appointing of a deputy associate administrator for unmanned aircraft to report to the head of the FAA and the Secretary of Transportation. Now, there's nothing worse than a pair of dotted lines when you have to report to somebody.
Yeah, well, that's true.
I mean, that's the universe in which I live and my day job. And do we really need a deputy associate administrator for unmanned aircraft? Unless they'd like to hire this 45-year-old, and I'll be happy to do the job, you know, with federal pay and federal benefits.
Now, at the time of this article, this was an act that Senator Booker was proposing to introduce. It hadn't been introduced at the time of the article. It doesn't look like it's been introduced yet. Searching around, I couldn't find any actual documents, the actual act itself, or any update on this. But we'll certainly be watching this. And, you know, I don't know what the appetite is in the Congress for this kind of thing. But I don't know. If I had to guess, I might guess that the appetite might be pretty large because I think our elected officials are hearing from a lot of constituents, you know, looking to begin commercial operations and feeling, you know, kind of stymied and hampered by the pace of the regulatory process.
And the other part about it was, I think Cory Booker took a little step backwards because the FAA this week, in the same, pretty much the same hearing, released the streamlined COAs, which is what this is sort of trying to do. So yeah. I tried to reach out to Senator Booker on Twitter. I'll keep doing it because I'd like to hear more from his office about this, because it's the first real legislation we've heard come out of not states, but federal. So we'll follow up on this one, Max, I'm sure.
Yeah, yeah. Well, David, the video of the week. Now, I have to ask you, where did you find this?
Well, I didn't find it. It was sent to us by one of our listeners, Todd Powles. And we like to thank Todd. I'll tell a brief little story. When you and I logged on tonight, you were pretty much singing it out loud on video. So unfortunately, I didn't get that on tape, folks. But it really speaks for itself. And given our preaching about talking about the NPRM, this does it better than you, Max, or I could have ever done.
Yeah, this is a YouTube video titled, You Need to Comment on the NPRM. Now, remember, was it the Village People, David, that did that song, YMCA?
That's the Village People, yep.
Yes, well, this video is, well, maybe not the same Village People, but they look a lot like those those people.
It's the Village People, but they're overdubbed with a
I see.
Parody song by Victor Villegas, otherwise known as Drone Singer. And he says he's the Weird Al Yankovic of drones, creating drone songs to bring attention to drone issues and drone culture. Victor, if you listen to us, we'd love to have you on the show because you crack us up big time.
Yeah, so take a look at this. We'll put the link to this in the show notes. Give it a watch. It's really comical. Victor, well, he isn't the best vocalist in the world, but what he's created here is a parody song that it's really trying to encourage people to comment on the FAA's NPRM. And, you know, I think he might pull it off. So give that a listen. I also discovered, David, he does a lot of other drone sort of videos sort of in this humorous vein. So when you listen to this one or watch this one on YouTube, it'll give you the option to view other videos by Victor and take a look at them. They're pretty funny.
So that brings us to our weekly NPRM report. And Max, drum roll, please. How many comments this week?
Well, the FAA is reporting that they now have received 1,617 comments for the small UAS NPRM, the commercial use of small UAS. So the number of comments, they keep growing.
And we have until?
April 25th to get your comments in. So as we've said before, you can get to the regulations.gov webpage easily by just clicking on or going to the uavdigest.com/NPRM. That'll take you right to that page. You can read the NPRM. Please do that. Think about what you might want to send along to the FAA by way of comments and construct something that's compelling and makes some good arguments. And you can submit those directly to the FAA electronically.
And there are some of the comments, even though we don't recommend that you write this way, that are downright hysterical. So
yeah.
Unfortunately, we were sent some of the more interesting ones. But so, yeah, definitely read the comments. If you're used to reading comments on websites, you know what to expect. But there are sometimes ones that just sort of scratch your head and go, really? So we got some feedback also. Our first one was from Robert Shinners. If I said that wrong, Robert, I apologize. And he's from Australia, and this was on the news the other night. I thought it might be both interest to you. It takes the hobby drones to another level. Plus, it looks like fun, and it's about FPV drone racing. And we'll put a link in the show notes.
Interesting sport. I think I would go and spectate at something like that. The skill involved is, I think, pretty impressive to fly these things at such a high rate of speed. Drone pilots are pretty skilled.
Yeah, it's definitely beyond our level of flight capabilities.
Well, at least so far.
There you go. All right, very positive.
That's right. Yeah, we can aspire to become as skilled at piloting small drones as some of these professionals.
So I guess that'll wrap up the show this week, Max. Do you have anything else we need to add?
No, I think that'll do it. This has been episode 87 of the UAV Digest. I want to thank you all for listening so much. Our audience just continues to grow and grow, and we get great participation, great engagement from all of you, and we really, really appreciate that. That helps keep David and I going. You can find the webpage at theuavdigest.com, and you can also go directly to the show notes for this episode at theuavdigest.com/87.
If you want to follow us on social media, you can follow us on Twitter at UAVDigest, where we have a huge Twitter following. Facebook.com/theuavdigest for our Facebook page. And of course, we really appreciate your feedback. And you can email us directly at feedback@theuavdigest.com. And if you want to send an email to either Max or I, it's either david@theuavdigest.com or max@theuavdigest.com. And if you love us, leave us a review on Apple iTunes or Stitcher.com if you're streaming us to your phone. And last but not least, if you'd like some swag, a UAV Digest t-shirt would look really good now that we're getting spring weather here. Or you can make a donation to our cause so that we can keep growing the show and bringing you better guests, etc. And that's at patreon.com/theuavdigest. And of course, both of those have links on theuavdigest.com. And again, don't forget, leave your comments on the NPRM because it's really important for what we want to do as an industry. So I guess with that, I'll say this is David in Philly.
And Max in Hartford.
Thanks for listening.
Drone man, listen to what I say. I say drone man. I say, drone man, stop complaining about drone commercial regulations. Drone man, go to regulations.gov, search for FAA, UAS, and then comment before it is too late. late. Don't just sit there and complain about them. Make sure you comment on the NPRM. It's time to comment on the NPRM. There are less than 60 days to comment on the rules. Hurry now and don't delay. You need to comment on the NPRM. You need to comment.